And how are you wonderful people tonight?
Wonderful.
That's the way to be. We have wonderful stories we're going to tell tonight. But before we get into the story, I always want to tell you good news. I was watching television. Bill Moyer has a show on. And I think it's called Truth and Belief.
Or Faith and Reason.
Oh, Faith and Reason. Well, Truth and
Belief.
And the other night, he was interviewing an author by the name of Jeanette Winterson. And it was absolutely fabulous. She's written a book called Weight. And it's about Atlas holding up the world. But that, besides those items there, the thing that I want to tell you is this. She came from a very fundamentalist family, and I think they were Pentecostal. And she said that in her home, there were only 6 books allowed. One of them was the Bible. The other 5 were books relating to the Bible. And her mother did not let any books in the house, so she used to sneak books in and all this, that, and the other things. And one of the books that she snuck in was Women in Love by Lawrence. Now, her mother burned all the books that she brought into the house. But then, Jeanette, of course, decided that she was gay. So, when the mother found that out, the mother said, well, you can't stay here. So she packed and was leaving. As she was leaving, her mother called her back and said, Jeanette, why do you want to be happy when you can settle for normal? And that's the news I have for you tonight. This thing we call God wants you to be happy. God doesn't want you to settle just to be normal. God doesn't want you to do things like that. And yet we constantly do that to ourselves. We give up our happiness. We give up being happy. Because either we don't think that it's proper, or we don't think that this thing that we call God or the universe wants people to be happy. You see, the outside world, what we call race mind, wants people to be miserable. They think that's what this is all about, because what are you told? You did something horrible, and now you have to struggle through this world, this life, and then end up somewhere else and be happy there. If you happen to make it to that happy part, you know, you could go down, you see. So the good news is, there's no such thing, first of all, as the devil. There's no such thing as hell. So give up those ideas. Give up any idea that you think you're going to go to hell. I was teaching years ago in, of course, the Bible Belt, which is a hard place to teach, I'll tell you. And they constantly thought that they were going to hell, and they would tell me that. And they would go to church. And they would come to my lectures and to my church at the time. I said, why do you bother to come if you already know where you're going? You know, if you think you're going to burn in hell, then don't bother with anything, you see? I mean, why would you waste your time going to church and all if you think you're going to burn in hell? Well, this one woman said, well, I knew I was going to go when I was a child. And I said, how did you figure that out? Well, she went to a Baptist church, she said, and the minister said, God is going to separate the goats from the sheep. And she said, I just right away knew I was a goat. So she was prepared. She was prepared all her life to go to hell. Now, would anyone want to say that there is a God or worship a God or give money to a God that's going to burn you? It does not make sense, people. give. Hello. Give that idea up. It does not serve you in any way. This teaching, I have said, and I will continue to say, teaches only unity. And in unity, you cannot have God and the devil. You cannot have heaven and hell. If you have that, it would be separation. Anytime you hear anyone talk separation, they are out of what we call principle. They are out of what we call the truth. And you can't live that way. And that's why people are so unhappy, because they think that they're doing something wrong. When you were a child, did you ever hear your parents say, "That's enough fun for the day"? You had enough fun for the day. Well, I'm here to tell you, have fun all the time. Be happy all the time. You don't have to settle. Who wants to be normal in the first place? Was never one of my goals. I knew that from day one. I mean, I looked around and saw what they called normal. I said, oh, this has got to go. This is not right, you know. When I was a child, I grew up in the Lutheran faith, which served me and didn't serve me, because they could never answer any of my questions. They kept saying, well, when you go through catechism, that'll all become clear to you. Of course, I went through catechism and it didn't become clear to me. But when I was watching television at that time, now this would have to be in the 50s. We got our first television set in 1949. We're the only ones in the neighborhood. Everyone came over to look at it. We had a screen about that size. Mm-hmm. But the Kaufmans, they had a television set and their screen was this big. And they would do the Friday night fights, and all the neighbors would come in to watch the Friday night fights on something the size of a silver dollar. Never made sense. But anyway, there was a program that would come on, a religious program that come on, and I'm almost sure it was probably put out by the Mormons, but don't quote me on that. But they always started with a saying of Jesus, which was, "I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And then I would look around and see all these people not living prosperous, not living abundant at all, always in some horrible state, always sick, all kinds of things. I never could figure that out. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What do you think that means? To me, that means have abundant life, not only with all the things and stuff you want, but to be happy. To be happy with your life, an abundant life, a life that's filled with joy and filled with happiness and filled with bliss. We're not here to suffer, people. That's the good news. You are not here to suffer. And if anyone here is suffering, give it up. Don't suffer. You know, I always say if you suffer for more than 3 minutes, there's something wrong with you. Because there's always somebody out there that can help you. There's always something you can turn to and give that up. But I think we get addicted to suffering. And we think that we're very spiritual if we suffer. Because we hear of all these stories of the saints who had to suffer through this and through that. And we don't have to suffer through those things. So don't do that to yourself. Don't lock yourself in a cell and start whipping yourself. What good is that? And then we always hear this other saying, you know, no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. I hate that saying. I don't think that you have to have pain to gain anything. I don't think you have to experience pain in your entire life. Why? Do you think God experiences pain of any type? I don't think so. So I made up the little cards tonight so that we finally get that expression correct. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to keep bringing yourself always back to that premise. You have to remember that there is nothing but God. There can be nothing outside of God. Unity Church says there's not a spot where God is not. So there's no room for anything. So there's really no room for all this pain and so forth in your life. We bring that in. Come in, we'll find a chair for you. That's it. Join the circle. There we go. See? Now that used to be a song, didn't it? The circle will get bigger, isn't it?
Will the circle be unbroken?
Yeah, the circle be unbroken. There. See, now we have the circle back. So the good news is that you can be happy and that you can allow yourself to be happy all the time. That you can give yourself permission to be happy. And this thing that we call God or the universe wants you to be happy. Wants you to be happy. Don't be afraid of being happy. Don't be afraid of having fun. You know, they say God has a sense of humor. And I absolutely believe that. Look around. God must have a sense of humor. You know, he created an aardvark. Now, don't you think that's humorous to create an aardvark? I would think so. And a platypus, all those things. So God does have a sense of humor. So learn to be happy and make it your birthright. And start thinking of that instead of thinking, oh, about this, whatever this thing was called, the original sin, and now we all have to suffer because something happened in some garden somewhere. You know, don't do that to yourself. These are wonderful stories. Most of them are myths, you know. They never happened to begin with. It was just a way to tell people what was going on and try to explain why am I here and what is all this about. And yes, years ago, it may have been a struggle for people. But today, in this day and age, here, especially in Los Angeles, there's no reason for anybody not to be happy. Not to be happy. And stop postponing your happiness till tomorrow, or till you have a little bit more money, or till the right person comes along, or till the right job comes along. Happiness, like anything else in life, is an inside job. It comes up from within you. It doesn't attack you from outside yourself, people. Nothing attacks you from outside yourself. Everything comes up through you. Comes up through you. And there's always happiness and there's always joy. And tons of it inside of you. Inside of you. So, look inside of yourself. How many people here absolutely believe that their body is a temple? Now, if you believe your body is a temple, how many people have visited it? Have you gone in there? You know, you have to go into your temple. You can say, oh, my body's a temple. My body's a temple. And you never go in to see. You have to go inward. And you have to really know that your body is a temple. There's all kinds of marvelous things going on in there. I wish I could share my insides with you, but I can't. But I have happy insides. And I make my insides happy. And I make myself happy. I don't rely on anybody to make me happy. I don't rely on anybody to do anything for me. When people do things for me, I absolutely appreciate it. And I absolutely sit in gratitude for that. But I always know that everything is inside of me. And I don't sit around waiting for happiness to hit me. I don't sit around waiting for love to hit me. So many people are sitting around waiting to be loved or waiting to experience love. You have to do that from inside, people. No one can do that. No one can do that. You have to do it for yourself. As soon as you learn to love yourself, my God, somebody will come into your life. You'll go, oh, where'd they come from? Mm-hmm. They came in because they noticed that you loved yourself. Now ask yourself that question. If you don't love yourself, you think you're going to attract somebody to you? And what fool wants you if you don't love yourself? And if somebody did want you and you don't love yourself, would you want them? So you have to think of those things. It's all inside. It's all inside of you. So the good news is you can be happy. And you don't have to settle for being normal. I don't think that this thing that we call God wants people to be normal, because normal always means medium of some sort. It always means the middle of the road, the run of the mill. And who wants to do that? You see, you can't say all that I am is God and I am not all that God is and then say, geez, I think I'll just sit here and be normal. You see? You're an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. This power called cosmic power, call it life, call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But you can take that power and do something with it. And something wonderful. You individualize that power. And you make something with it. And you make your life different. Yes, we're all connected. We're all the same. But at the same time, we're all different. We're all different. And we want to do that. Because in the mind of God are all possibilities. And if everyone was normal, wouldn't that knock off most of the possibilities? You see, you can't do that to yourself. You have to see yourself with the power. And you have to make yourself happy. And that's how easy it is to make yourself happy. She's a happy person. So now talking about being happy and talking about good news, I would like, first of all, Mr. Berman over there to tell the class what you found in your red envelope.
$185.
Does everyone remember the little red envelope? And the people who don't remember the red envelope, I will make sure next week to bring them to you. And Andy, would you quickly explain the red envelope?
Sure. The red envelope is an envelope that Dallas has given out, and it's a tool that you can use to create another proof of abundance in your life. What you do is every day when you come home, you open up your purse or your wallet or wherever you carry your money, and you count the money in it and see how abundant you are. And you take an odd, small odd amount out of that and put it in the red envelope and stow it away for an opportunity day. And so if you have, say, $17 in cash in your wallet, you might take $2 out. If you have $32, you might take $2 out, or $7 out. You just take an odd small amount of money and you just sock it away, and you create another evidence of abundance in your life.
Because you can get along with that $1. And then before you know it, you have all these $1 or whatever in your envelope. And you can get bigger envelopes. I did bring bigger ones one time, and I'll see if I can find those again. I ran into those, and I haven't found them again, but I will bring them. I'll look around.
And that's actually one of the main tenets of that, is the fact that you can live your day as easily on $20 as $21. So if nothing else, at least take $1 and stow it away.
Because, you know, as many times as you people come, and I just appreciate that to no end, and, of course, you allow me to set up here and babble and tell you all this stuff. The title of this class is Abundance and Prosperity, Including Money. I just slip all this other stuff in on you. But we're always working on prosperity, abundance, and money. So we want to remember that in this class. But everything that I tell you, you know, when you're happy, you're abundant. And when you're abundant, you become prosperous. And when you become prosperous, it has to include money in there somewhere, people. It has to include money. So it all hinges together here. Would you like to tell about your little thing, please?
My little thing was actually a big thing in the mail that I wasn't expecting, and I even forgot to expect money in my mailbox that day. So I got an envelope, and I opened it up, and there was a check for $477 from Sherman Oaks Hospital, which I had no idea where and why and all of that. So I didn't cash it until I called the accounting department and found out that I had overpaid them $477 when I had a couple of stitches in my finger, stabbing myself. So that was surprise money.
So we're always looking for that surprise money. And when we go to the mailbox, remember, we're always going to the mailbox looking for checks, people. We don't go to the mailbox looking for bills. When I go to my mailbox, I try to go to mine. I live in a condominium. There's 24 boxes out there. I try to look out and make sure that there's no one else around the mailbox, because if people are around on the way to the mailbox, they're saying, oh, I know I'm getting a bill today. I know it's time for this. I know all I ever do is get bills. My box will be filled with bills, and I don't want to hear that. I run out there joyfully saying, ha, a check will be in there today. Money is coming to me today. Isn't that much better? To look for money in the mailbox than to think the mailbox is only there for bills. And when you start to do that, guess what? Checks come in the mail. Checks come in the mail. After 3 years. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. We're always opening up every channel we know for prosperity, abundance, and money. And what we have a tendency to do is limit ourselves and limit the universe. When you limit yourself, you limit the universe. If you think your money is only coming through your job, then you've just limited yourself. You have to know that money is always freely circulating in your life, that you always have a divine surplus, and that every channel in the universe is open, and you're ready, willing, and able to accept that flow from the universe. And it starts to happen. It comes to you. And that makes you very happy. Carol, would you like to say something about your demonstration?
Yes. I've been in toxic job for 5 years. It was a temporary job, and I was there 5 years on July 5th. I never had a raise, not a penny. I never had health insurance. There were 60 employees in the company. And it was very abrasive. It was a family-owned business, father and son, and they'd say kind of rough things to everyone. And thanks to the class and working on positive thinking, I got, Dallas helped me with a resume, and rewrote it, and I didn't feel like, well, what's this going to be? How is it going to happen? And it did. On Friday, I was, I gave my final resignation to the company, and I'm starting a new wonderful job with a big company. I'm a shuttle manager, and I'm starting next week.
You see, it works, people. It absolutely works. This thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, wants you to succeed. It wants you to succeed. When you succeed, God succeeds. And can you ever think that God would fail in any way? You see, God will not let you down. You have to keep working it. You have to keep believing in it. You have to stay happy. And it will come. Everything will come. This is absolutely true, because I don't tell lies. Is there anybody else who would like to tell us how happy they are? Would you like to tell us how happy you are? No? But we can see it. Doesn't she look happy? So, all right. No one else wants to share? You.
I had a thing with my taxes. And the manager of my taxes made a couple of mistakes. So I got a bill from the IRS for penalties and interest because he sent the corporate taxes late. And then I got a notice that the taxes I was supposed to get back on my personal income were being audited. And it was something that the business and personal was mixed up. So, working with Dallas, I simply sat down and I took the action and I paid the penalties and interest, because in order to get money back, you have to pay it. And I wrote a letter, explained the situation. Got a letter last week. They are sending me the money back. And the taxes, as far as the personal, I was supposed to get like $4,100, and they just changed it. I'm getting $3,600. But he took care of that, and then he sent me $1,000 to offset. So I just, you know, the whole thing of working it and turning it over, and that's the IRS, so that's, I think that's pretty damn fine. Yeah.
I have always had wonderful success with the IRS. I've helped more people out of problems with the IRS. How do I do that? Well, I do, of course, spiritual mind treatment. But I also realize that they have to be one with God also. And I don't give them any power. And I know perfectly well that they're going to work with you. And they're going to do everything. I have told more people, call, be very nice to them, tell them this is what you can do, that's what you can do, and blah, 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 and you need their help. And every time they will help you, and every time that people have gotten money back. Yes?
Oh, I just have a story.
Yes.
Well, prosperity, I didn't really, when I first started coming to class, I didn't really recognize it as just being all, it could be anything, it could be lots of things, and it could be being open enough to receive. And it, I recently had a birthday, and it was incredible, and the amount of receiving I got, that I was, it was a little overwhelming, to be honest with you. And it's one of those things where you go, well, I love this, but it's so unbelievable. I first got taken to a really fabulous hotel room that was just beautiful, 1,700 square feet, and I'm like, where am I? I was a huge surprise. And I also got a gift of a trip to Italy, which I've never been. It was my dream, and not in a million years did I think someone would give me a gift for a two-week trip to Italy. I was like, and just, I just said outpouring. It's so overwhelming that at receiving is becoming, and all I can say is thank you more, please, because that's what we say. But it was like one of those times where you're like, whoa. I mean, I didn't ask for it. It came, and it's incredible. And you try to hold on to the feelings. It's hard to hold on to them as good as they are because it's unbelievable.
Yes.
So just opening myself up to receive is the biggest, biggest lesson.
You must always open yourself up to receive. People are receiving all the time. They do not know that. They do not see that. And they do not accept that. Why? Because they are not open. And they think what? That they are not worthy, they do not deserve, and they are not lovable. As soon as you know those three items and open yourself to receive, things will just keep coming to you. And you will be able to say more, please. And be very comfortable with getting more and more and more. The universe is abundant. It has everything. And when you're receiving your abundance, you are not taking from anybody else. If you have that idea, give it up. Give that idea up. Your abundance is your abundance. And the other person's abundance is their abundance. That's why you can never take anything from anybody else. What is yours, by right of consciousness, can never be taken from you. Can never be taken from you. What do we mean by right of consciousness? I know that it is mine. I know that I deserve it. I am worthy. And I am lovable. It is mine. It cannot be taken from me. You must see yourself as that. And your abundance must always be coming, pressed down and running over. That is what this whole idea of living is about, is receiving. And the more you receive, the more you're going to give. And the more you give, the more you receive. And it just keeps going and going and going. And it becomes so fun. Makes you happy. You'll love doing it. You'll love doing it. And it opens every channel. It will just open you up where you're having fun with your life. And that you're having fun with life itself. And you say, geez, I'm glad I'm alive. I like being alive. I like living my life. By God, I'm having fun. Despite myself. And you start to laugh. You start to have fun with it. Now, isn't that a much better way to go through life?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Much better way to go through life. A fun way to go through life. And if you go through life like that, Thomas here has two wonderful children. You people may have children, and I don't know about it. But think of the legacy that he's going to leave his children. Think of what all that is doing for them. And then they're going to have children, and they're going to, and it's just going to work. And that's abundance and prosperity continuing and continuing and continuing. That's what life is. That's what life is all about. So,
Dallas?
Yeah.
They're very centered.
Your children.
I say, is it good or is it bad? They go, it's neither. It just happens, right? I say, somebody takes your toy away, is it a good thing, bad thing? They go, it doesn't matter. It just happened. If you didn't pass the test, was it good or bad? They said, it didn't matter because it just happened. So, everything that they see is, you know, people do something to them, it doesn't matter. Somebody gives them something, it doesn't matter. It just happens. So they're very centered, and they kind of push this out to other people, too. Because they're always teaching these other kids. It's really funny.
Yes, well, children are the best teachers for other children. That's why the one-room schoolhouse worked much better. You know, because everyone learned from everybody else. And children love to teach other children. And that's how other children learn very quickly. Anyway, happiness. Now, once again, that's just the good news, you know. That's just my preamble. Now you're in for the talk, right? Unless anyone else has anything. Oh.
I was going to share. I was looking for a laptop about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I did all my research. I went online, I went to various stores, found the one I needed, $1,000. So it was Wednesday, and I was going to get it, and I said, well, let's just wait one more day. And I don't know why I felt I needed to do that, but I just said, let's just wait one day, tomorrow I'll get it. So I woke up Thursday, ready to go out and get it, and as I got in my car to go get it, the radio came on, and one of the stores, they had a Midnight Madness sale the next day. So the next day I went in to see if they had the computer I was looking for, and they did, for $599. So, but they said the sale doesn't start till 6, so come nice and early. So I was at home at about 4:30, and I thought, okay, I'm going to leave the house. I got on the freeway. It was a mess. I got off the freeway, and I hit the worst traffic jam ever. And I caught myself. I was behind the wheel, and I couldn't see around the cars in front of me, and I was like, come on, get out of the way. And suddenly I stopped, and I said, everything's fine. It's going to clear any minute, and I'm going to be the front of that line. Within 5 minutes, I've been stuck in this traffic 20 minutes. Within 5 minutes, everything just opened miraculously. I got there, I was in the front of the line. Now I'm waiting. I'm waiting. That the manager sees me waiting out there, and I'm there an hour early. He comes and touches me on the shoulder. He says, this is a voucher. Get yourself out of the heat. You got one. Mm-hmm. No, not for free, but I get they had basically five of those left, and it would go to the first five. And he basically allowed me to, yeah.
Now, let me add something to this. That's an absolutely wonderful story, and I love the wonderful smile and the happiness that's on your face. Because a week or 2 weeks ago, this guy was so down, it was awful. You remember? Had no money, no prosperity, things weren't going right, this was wrong, that was wrong. And now you're learning how to work it. And it's working for you. The reason why I point that out, if this happens to us all, we can get down, but we can't. You cannot stay down, people. You cannot stay down. You have to get right back up again. And when you do, marvelous things happen to you. But people think, oh, I'm down, I might as well stay down. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Perk yourself right back up.
Yeah, I'll be right with you.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to share something that reminds me of that, because I was down about money last week, and it was really hard to get back into the abundance mindset. And normally I get money from paychecks, that's it, just paychecks. And so this weekend I went to a family constellation workshop all weekend when people bring up family issues. Well, my family issue that was deep-seated in my ancestors, my father, this and that, was money. It wasn't trauma, this and that, it was money. And so it was. They worked on releasing some of those issues and the men in my family and everything. And then I came home, and I said, I hope spirit shifted things. And I pulled out a positive affirmation card and it said, the riches of the world will come to me effortlessly. I said, okay, I'm going to remember that. And then the next day, which was today, I came home and I got a check, a random check. It wasn't from work, for $50. And I say, okay, more please. But it was, I knew it was a sign,
yes,
that something had shifted. This is a check to show you that whatever work you did or however you shifted your consciousness, it opened something up.
What kind of a world do we live in, people?
Wonderful.
Mental.
We live in a mental world. And you have to make a shift. When you make a shift, everything shifts. And the reason we can make a shift is because we live in a mental world. If this were a physical world, it would not work. But we live in a mental world. And when we change our minds about anything, and when we see things differently, when we say the traffic will clear, the traffic will clear, because it's a mental world. That abundance is coming to me, that the riches of the universe are coming to me. Now, she got a check for $50. Some people may say, well, that's not very rich. That's just the dribble. What the hell good is that? You don't do that to yourself. You say, oh my goodness, look at that. It's starting to open, it's starting to flow, and I see it coming. And then things start to happen. Because it's a mental world. You're doing it. You're creating your own reality at each and every moment. At each and every moment, you're creating it.
May I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Must you be scrupulously honest in all your financial affairs? If you need a brief elaboration on that.
I would.
Boy, here.
If I hide some money, I might be eligible for some kind of senior housing. But that means hiding the money, which is not scrupulously honest. Also, it sets up a mental attitude of need, not. I could take the attitude, well, I'm always going to have enough that I'm not even going to need to fit into this system, which says, at this point, you no longer can. I don't know what to do, and I've been dealing with this for months. I don't know what to do. Rich people put money in islands, but we're talking about
a pond or something. That is a very good question, and it's a very disturbing question mentally to most people. We live in a world, and we have to learn how to play that game that the world is playing. And sometimes it doesn't seem very spiritual, because we were taught, of course, to be scrupulous and to be very honest and so forth. But the world outside, what we call race mind, and the system that is out there, if you don't learn how to manipulate it, it's going to manipulate you. Does that make sense to you? So yes, if you say you have to be under a certain income
right.
to get in there,
yes.
then I see no harm in making yourself do that. And if you have to do what they call spend down, they'll make you spend down so that you reach that.
Or hide it in a safety deposit box.
That's right.
I don't know.
What is the difference between spending down and hiding it in a box? It's exactly the same thing. And a lightning bolt, you notice, did not come down and strike me. And one is not going to strike you for that. Don't get yourself so mentally worked up over that. You're saying, do what you think is right. Meditate on it. Pray about it. But if you want my suggestion, hide the money.
Or don't even hide it. Just put it away. Just put it away. And so it's, you know how you get your reserves and you put them away so they're not there. You're not going to spend them. They're just gone. And you put that in your head like, I don't have that money.
Get a very large red envelope.
Yeah, get a big and just put it away.
Big envelope.
I keep money like put away places because you never know. And then I'm always never being.
I have a friend who gave money to one of her kids to keep for her.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Gave her $30,000 put in a separate account that both names are on.
So there isn't, you will not burn in hell. God is still going to love you, and you're going to get a nice new place to live in.
The phrase scrupulously honest will not be mine, however. You know? But
can you give up the scrupulous?
Well, I'm going to work on it.
Give that up. Sometimes we can be too hard on ourselves. You have to love yourself enough to be able to do things, dear.
And many of us pay taxes so that there is affordable housing for seniors or for people who don't make as much money as we do. And I like knowing that. I like knowing that there are places that people could go and get, you know, situations that they're okay in.
Yes. Thank you very, very much. I've been carrying this for a long time. Thank you.
And let me add that I think everyone in this room, even though you won't be able to say you're scrupulously honest anymore, will still love you just the same.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose any love because of that. One more. Go ahead.
I heard two parts to the question, though. The second part was about affirming that she may be prosperous enough not to need this housing. And I would suggest that she continue to make that affirmation, and then it doesn't. Then the rest of it becomes moot.
Always continue to make that.
Because to think that she needs it is to think in fear. And
oh, I don't think she thinks she needs it. What I heard was that if she's up at this level, she won't get the housing.
Right.
If she's at that level, she will.
Right.
So she has to compensate in between that. So you take this and you put it away. But you still know that money is always freely circulating in your life, and it has not cut off your prosperity one bit. Plus, the housing is your prosperity. You're saying?
That's scrupulously, I don't know that word, honest according to whom?
Yes.
You're still an honest person. According to the government, you're not honest.
According to what I put here.
According to the government.
The government. Yes, the government.
The government is not
the
a person.
The paperback
and the
dog.
And the system is not a person, so you're still honest.
The bomb.
You're not hurting, and you're not. You're being honest to yourself. You're not hurting anybody.
You're not.
You're not taking money away from anybody.
Be thankful. But how things are.
You hit the. You made a comment that the programs are designed for people to accommodate themselves to get into the programs, and that's just the way all of our government programs work. And so there's nothing wrong with accommodating yourself to get into the program.
Yeah.
Because that's how the government programs work. And, and they're designed with that in mind. And when you talk to these people, they'll tell you, in not so many words, how to make it work.
Yes.
You know, and that's what they tell you. Because they tell you, well, if you make this much money or if you have this much assets, you can't do it. If you have this much assets, you can't.
And they'll tell you how to
hide it. They're telling you how to make it work. You know, and that's just what it's all about. So,
and you can bring that money and give it to that basket. And then there's the saying, the Lord helps those who help themselves.
That's a good one. All right, are you clear? All right, any other questions? We're going to have a short talk. All right, last week's talk was what? That he who is without sin cast the first stone. And what did we decide last week? There's very few of us, if not any of us, that can say that we are without sin. We have done something somewhere along the line. Told a white lie, did this, cheated on a test, went through a red light, whatever. And what did we decide? Okay, we did those things. We forgive ourselves for that. And we don't then start looking down our nose and saying that somebody else is worse than we are because they're doing it. You're saying. We don't go around doing those things. We work on our soul, why we are here, to complete ourselves and to complete our soul. And the way we do that is by learning not to look down on people and to realize that basically we are all hypocritical in some way, because we say, oh, I don't do that, and lo and behold, you discover, oh, I just did it, you know. And there, we think we can get away with little things and small things and all this, that, and the other thing. It's not a matter of getting away with anything. It's a matter of noticing what you're doing, having enough self-esteem and self-worth and self-value, and wanting to be the best human being that you can be, and not do those things. Just stop doing them. And then realize that everyone has done something. If only in their own mind, they have done something. There was a very famous healer and metaphysician in New England. His name was Quinius Fimbe.
Phineas Parkhurst Quimby.
Yes. He was a fabulous healer. In fact, they said that when somebody was sick in the house and was about ready to leave this plane of action, they would call him and the undertaker at the same time. And whoever got there first got the body. And if he got the body, he could heal the body. And he healed these people. And what he discovered was this, that everyone had thought that they had committed the ultimate sin. And that's why they were sick, because they were punishing themselves, because they had committed the ultimate sin. With that, he discovered that every sin was different, that no one had the same thought, the same sin, but they all thought that has to be the ultimate sin. Mm. You see what our minds do to us? Our minds do that. There's no such thing as the ultimate sin. There's no such thing as those things. How about the thought, oh, I must be the only person that's ever done that? Now, don't you think that's a bit arrogant? It's absolutely impossible if you think you're the only person that's ever did that. Surely somebody else has done it. Somebody else has tried it. But the thing is, you see those things. You notice what you're doing in life. The whole idea in life is to start noticing what you're doing. It's to start living deliberately. And know and say, oh, yes, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm thinking. Oh, I can change that thinking. I can change what I'm doing. I can make myself into the person that I've always wanted to be. I can become something here. And I can learn to think God thoughts after it. I can do this. And you start to do that. And you start to let everybody else alone. You don't bother to say, oh, well, he's a sinner, and he's done that, and he's done this, and that, and that, and that. Pay attention to yourself. Always bring everything back to you and back to yourself. What am I thinking? What am I doing? Doesn't matter what the other person's doing. What matters is what you're doing. Every time you're worried about somebody else, you've taken the focus off yourself. And now you're no longer working on yourself. You're no longer seeing yourself. You're seeing somebody else. So that was last week's talk, and we learned to give that up. So let he is with without sin cast the first stone, an impossibility. We've all sinned. Tonight's very brief talk is go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. What does that mean? Some people keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Once you notice that it's not working, stop doing it. Stop doing it. You know, ignorance can be fixed. Stupid is forever. Don't be stupid about things. Look around and notice what you're doing and say, that doesn't work. I'm going to stop doing that. That isn't the way I want to live my life. And give up that idea, oh, it's a habit, I've always done it that way, whatever's going on in your mind. Stop doing it. Go and sin no more. That's what that means in the Bible. Stop doing what you're doing that isn't getting you to where you want to go. Because the only person that's holding you up from anything in your life is you. If you think it's your parents, your boss, society, the government, it's not. It's you. Once you realize that you are causing everything, that you are the cause under your own experience, you can change something. You see, you can change yourself. You can't change your neighbor. But when you change, your neighbor changes. You see, life is very easy and very simple. It's always an inside job, and it's always a do-it-yourself project. You have to do it. You come here week after week, I tell you all these wonderful things, absolutely wonderful. But you have to use them. You have to do something with them. You see, I cannot eat for you. I cannot breathe for you, and I cannot think for you. You have to learn to do that. And I am not here to tell you what to think. I am here to show you how to think. How to think for yourselves. I don't jam anything down your throat. What I want to do always is have something come up through you. An aha experience, so that you start thinking your own thoughts and not your parents' thoughts, society's thoughts, culture's thoughts, or race mind thoughts, so that you can think for yourselves and make up your own mind on how you want to live your life. And you can do it. It's easy, and it's fun. You can make yourself happy, but it's an inside job, and it's a do-it-yourself project, and it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.